Hebrews chapter 10. Glory to God. We're going to come back and read more of these verses, but for just the start, I want to start in verse 8. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 8. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Once and for all. Now, let me read this again, because sometimes we get it a little twisted, and even in our own thoughts, we begin to determine, well, I'm right with God, I'm not right with God, and we determine it by what we do, right? But this verse, again, verse 10, if you don't have it underlined, highlighted, whatever, you need to do that. By faith, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. But here's the point. The law didn't work. Because the law said that if you committed a sin, you had to bring an offering for that sin. And even once a year, there was an offering that was made. It's called the atoning offering for even sins that, you know, you didn't know you committed. I mean, that's the covering of everything. But if during the year, if you did something, you knew you did something, then you'd have to bring an offering to have your sins forgiven. Why? Because the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Glory to God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So the blood is very important. But Jesus shed his blood once, and it was for all. But it's once and for all. In other words, he doesn't have to go do it again. Aren't you glad for that? Come on, aren't you glad for that? How many, now I know most of you here, because you're here on Wednesday night, you never mess up. But those other people that don't come on Wednesday night, they're the ones that, you know, constant struggle, right? No, no. I've been saved a long time, and I've messed up a lot, right? But Jesus didn't have to get back on the cross and offer his body again because I messed up. What did I have to do? I had to look through the blood, and God looks through the blood of that sacrifice to us. Now go back one chapter to chapter 9, and we'll start reading in verse 11. Again, we could read all of these verses in this chapter so good. But verse 11 says this. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is of this creation, nor with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered into the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Very, very interesting. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but I think about it every once in a while. I think about Jerusalem, the Day of Atonement, or the priests every day were at the temple and they were offering sacrifices for sin. And like, if you did this sin, you had to do this. Or if you wanted to give a Thanksgiving offering, you had to give this. But if you think about all of the animals that were sacrificed in Jerusalem, it was incredible. Listen, Peter would not approve of what was happening. And day after day, month after year after year, high priest after high priest, generational after generation, these things were done. And it was such that the blood ran through a system that took it out of the city. In other words, they had to have gutters for the blood. A lot of blood, right? A lot of blood. Well, why the blood? Why the blood? Well, the Bible says that the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. And even when Adam and Eve fell back in the garden, you remember that they covered themselves with fig leaves, right? To keep out of the glory of God. We don't want anybody to see we're naked. And God said, fig leaves won't do it. So he had to give the first blood sacrifice so that their sins could be covered. And he killed and sacrificed animals so that they could put on, you know, the coverings that they had to put on. See, but the Bible says again that the life is in the blood. Did you know, like, every time that you go for a physical and sometimes just for a checkup, what's the first thing that they want to do? Give me some blood. Give me some blood. Right? And so they take the blood. Why? Why do they take the blood? Just because they want to have a collection? No, because in that blood is indicators of some things that are go wrong. If there's too many white cells, if there's too many of this, or if there are too many of that, they can see infection. They can see everything. Why? Because through the blood system is where life is flowing through your body. Just a test. We'll just stop your blood for just a few minutes and see how that works out, right? No, because the life is in the blood. But watch this. Jesus' blood, and it's really interesting when you go back through the Old Testament and you see the system and you go through the book of Deuteronomy and Numbers and you see all of the requirements that were made. I mean, if you do this, you got to do that, and you got to do this. And they had the temple set up. First it was in a tent, and then David built the big temple. But in order to even offer sacrifices, they had to go in and sprinkle everything with the blood and ashes and, you know, just to get it ready, right? Well, that was the Old Testament. But all of that was just a symbol of what was already created in heaven, because God had already prepared the place for the sacrifice so that all of mankind could come to heaven. Isn't that awesome? It's really awesome. And so what he's saying here is he's saying, look, at Jesus' blood wasn't spilled on the altar that's on the earth, but his blood was spilt and it came into the Holy of Holies. Now, you know this, but just for review so that we can get this straight, is that once a year on the Day of Atonement, God allowed the high priest to come into his presence to offer the atoning sacrifice. And before he came in, he had to be cleansed, he had to be right, and part of the cleansing was the perfect heifer that was sacrificed and the blood that was sacrificed so that he could take that in and sprinkle it on the altar, right? So once a year, the high priest had to do it. Now watch this. If the high priest didn't do everything correctly and he tried to go into the presence of God without being purified by the blood, without having the washing and all the ceremonial stuff, he wouldn't come out alive. Right? Why? Because God's holy. Let's not get it twisted. God is holy. We may debate here on earth what's holy, but God is holy. What does that mean? That means he's pure. That means that he absolutely needs everything in perfect order, completely order. And so people talk about heaven, and yeah, you know, George, he went to heaven, he's a good guy. Good doesn't cut the mustard. Because George's goodness, as described in the Bible, is nothing but filthy rags compared to God's goodness. In other words, you can't on your own be good enough. So there was a need for us to be covered or our sins taken away. And the system that God created through the law was to prove to you and I that by ourselves and our doing and our trying to be good enough, we couldn't do it. Right? Now we know that there's 10 commandments, and those were the ones that were put on the stone. But in the Old Testament, there's a lot more commandments, or there's a lot more instructions than just the 10. It's like 600 and some odd. And the Bible says that if you break just one of them, you're guilty of them all. Right? So what does that mean? Without God intervening, we're toast. Right? We're toast. But God said, listen, I need a perfect lamb to take the place so that mankind can be brought back into me. Right? So here's what happened. And it's why some of the things that some people think are not a big deal or a huge deal. God said, listen, I need to have a pure sacrifice, and only the life of a man could be the sacrifice for man. So Jesus had to come as the atoning sacrifice. But watch this. His blood had to be pure. His blood had to be perfect. If there was any sin in his blood, then he would not have qualified for the atoning sacrifice that made us holy. So first of all, you come into this world with tainted blood. Why? We all do. Why? Because our bloodline goes back to Adam. And when Adam sinned, death entered in. And that blood has been forever tainted ever since. So we're all in the same boat. But Jesus had to be born of a virgin so that the bloodline, which flows through the Father's portion of things, would not be tainted. And so Mary was a virgin and conceived by the Holy Spirit so that Jesus' blood would be perfect. So he started out perfect, and then he lived his life perfectly. He was a man without sin, without blemish. No one else, before or after, could ever qualify to be the atoning sacrifice. Because when Jesus spilled his blood to take our place, his blood was perfect. And there's power in the blood of Jesus. Right? There's power in the blood of Jesus. Now look at this, because, excuse me, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works? Have you ever had your conscience bother you? Right? You do something silly and you try to hide it, but your conscience just won't let you get away with it. Right? And so your conscience is constantly bugging you about your moral decline or your moral ineptitude. So in other words, I'm not worthy. I can't be worthy. I've done this. I've done that. I've done this. God, how can I come before you? Because my conscience is tying me to the events or the deeds that I did yesterday, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, right? I'm still tied to that. But the Bible says that his blood is able to deliver our conscience from the stain that the sin that we committed is no longer tied to me. He says, as far as the east is from the west, I will remember your sins no more. Why? Because the blood has been applied. The blood has been applied. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? nothing but the blood of Jesus. So when we start talking about our righteousness, our being right with God, we need to come back to the place that it's His blood that makes us whole. And watch this. It's His blood that not only sanctifies us, but it's His blood that should purge our conscience. Purge our conscience. What does that mean? Anytime that we're under condemnation from the past, we haven't allowed the blood to purge our past. Right? And so what we need to do is we need to not think about ourselves and what we can accomplish by our own efforts to be better. We have to come back to the blood and say, Lord, I thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because they've been washed by the blood. The blood has been spilt. The offering has been made. And watch what Jesus did. He took that blood, and in heaven, He went up to the Holy of Holies in heaven. That was the real thing. It wasn't the type, but it was the real thing in heaven. And He took that blood before it, and God accepted it as the atoning sacrifice once and for all. It's a done deal. Come on, isn't that cool? Now watch this. It's really an interesting thing in the book of John. Jesus appears to Mary and He says, "Don't touch me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father." And what was with that? I believe it's because He hadn't taken the blood into the Holy of Holies yet. But once He went into the Holy of Holies, He came back. Touch me, handle me. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to do all this. Come on. Come on. Do you want, look, here's my hands. Touch me. Put your finger right in here. Do whatever you need to do. I am now accessible to you because I paved the way for you to be just as I am. Holy and right with God. The Bible says, and you know this verse, but it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, "He who knew no sin became sin for us." Some versions say became the sin offering for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus once and for all. Ever say once and for all? The blood has made me right with God. Righteousness, we kind of sometimes get that a little twisted. There is something about righteousness means right living. But I think righteousness at its core means that I'm right with God. Because Jesus died once and for all, and that blood was spilled for me. Once and for all, I am right with God. And if God came in here and appeared to us, our first reaction would be hit the floor. But it's over and over as displayed in the book of Revelation, where John came and he fell down before the angel. Man, not me. Not I. The angel came and picked him up. He said, no, you're worthy. You have a right to be in the presence of God. Why? Because the blood has been applied. And the blood being applied, it absolutely gets you to the place where your conscience is purged from the evil deeds that have ever been done by you or by anyone else to you. See, the blood applied to your conscience can absolutely free you from things that have been done to you. Go to 1 John, and we'll come back to Hebrews, but go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Glory to God. And you know these verses. Now, I want to say, first of all, before we start reading, that John here is talking to the church. He's not necessarily talking to non-believers. He's talking to the church. Now look at verse 7. It says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, I grew up in a particular church where there were big sins and there were little sins. Right? And if you committed the little ones, you'd be all right. But if you committed the biggies, you had to do some serious repentance. And now, I'm not making light of repentance, and I think that's a good... In fact, it's God's goodness that leads us to that place. But it's not my repentance that cleanses me from the sin. It's the blood of Jesus that represents my cleansing. Glory to God. Now watch. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." What does that mean? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Now some people would say, yeah, you know, we're just all sinners saved by grace. No, you're not. You were a sinner. You got saved. The blood was applied, and you now become a saint. In other words, I'm right with God. I have the righteousness of God. I'm not as I was before. I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. But if I was to say that, you know, I was one of the good ones, right? I mean, I lived my life. I've never stolen. I've never cussed. I've never, you know, no, that's true. But if it was true, watch this. Then I'm deceiving myself. There are two men, one Andrew Womack, and another one's Dr. Jim Richards, both preachers, big ministries, and they were speaking at a conference and they became friends. And they talked about, Dr. Jim Richards came from a background where, you know, he was a hippie in a rock band and doing drugs, doing, you know, all of the things, had a terrible background. But Andrew Womack was saved at an early age, and he just, you know, I mean, he went to Vietnam and didn't cuss and didn't do any of the things, didn't drink, didn't smoke dope or whatever they do over, you know, did over there. He did none of that. He remained religiously right. But you see, grace has to be applied to both of them equally, because both of them, outside of a perfect record before God, do not meet the standards. So if you're going by your standard, well, I'm good, I've never smoked, I've never drank, I've never done this, I've never done that, and you're pushing that out of your... It's just as bad as to one who says, well, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. Why? Because the blood needs to be applied for the cleansing to be real, to be finalized, right? And how do we do that? We do that by faith, right? Okay, now watch this. I think this is really cool. Verse 9 says this. If we confess our sins... And what does it mean to confess your sins? Does it mean that, you know, okay, I did this wrong, I did that wrong, I did that wrong, and every sin that you've ever committed that you need to commit, confess? Now, I think it means this. To confess in the Bible means to say the same thing as God says. What does that mean? We've all missed it. If we confess that we've sinned, look at this. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Now let's break that down for just a minute. He is, who is, God is, faithful. In other words, he promised, he did it. He'll be faithful to what he's committed to. And just to forgive us of our sins. Now watch this, and I won't go deep into this, But all sin requires justification. In other words, what does justification mean? This is the action. This is the penalty that needs to be applied to the action. What did he say to Adam? He said, listen, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, you'll surely die. What that meant was, is you'll eternally be separated from me. Right? So that was his condition, but watch this, and all of us were in that condition. God required the shedding of blood so that sins could be remitted. So he was faithful, but he was also just in what he required. Now watch. Faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. How could he be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins? Because the blood of Jesus had paid the price for our sins to be cleansed. Thank you for the blood. Come on. Yeah. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Come on, there's power, wonder-working power in the blood. It's not just a catchy tune, right? It's the truth. Right? He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from some of our unrighteousness. Most of our unrighteousness. No, all of our unrighteousness. If you have any unrighteousness left in you, then you cannot go into the presence of God. Woo! Glory to God. I'm not only forgiven, but I'm cleansed. 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 Shh. Glory to God. Have you ever... You guys are probably much neater than me, but it seems like that oftentimes I'll get a new shirt or something, and I'll eat something, and all of a sudden, right, I'm wearing it. And I wash that thing, but there's still a spot. And it's clean, but it's not cleansed. Well, God didn't just apply the blood so that he could cover over your sins and leave the stains of your sins. He deep cleaned it so that there's no appearance of unrighteousness whatsoever because of the blood of Jesus. Once and for all, you're clean before the Lord. Glory to God. There's a lady back in the early, late 70s, he said, and her song was, clean before the Lord I stand, and in me not one blemish does he see. It's true, because of the blood. Because of the blood. Now, the Lord spoke to me when I was thinking about some things that have been done to me and the effect of the things done to me. How many know that if somebody abuses you, somebody does you wrong, you can carry that for a long, long time. In fact, you can be walking along minding your own business and you'll hear something, you'll smell something, you'll see something, and it triggers something and it puts you right back into the feelings that you had when that occurred. Right? Has anybody ever experienced that? But watch this. If you'll get up and you'll say, now wait a minute, wait a minute. God has not just forgiven me, he's cleansed me of all unrighteousness. So that unrighteous act that was done to me is under the blood, and I will not allow it any longer to come up and bring any penalty to me. I refuse. So what you're doing is you're taking authority over what the enemy means to kill, steal, and destroy in your life, even though it may have happened 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, it's under the blood. Is that good? I think that's really good, really good. Go back to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Glory to God. Do you find it remarkable? I do. That God wants us to come into His presence. Come on. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth? Come on. That He'd call my name. That He'd want, you know, I look at that sometimes and say, me, really, God? Me, really? Really? And the answer is, oh, yes. Yes. Because the blood once and for all was for all men. I'm cleansed. I'm in His presence. It's so good. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise he sprinkled the blood with both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry according to the law. Almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. Glory to God. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. Come on. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Now, I don't know what your view of the rapture is, and that's not the purpose of this particular message, but whenever Jesus comes, I've determined I'm going. But I'm not going because I'm super Christian. I'm not going because I'm pastor. I'm not going because I've done everything in my life the right way. I'm only going because the blood of Jesus has been applied to my heart. That he took my place on the cross. He took my penalty upon himself. And I'm going because the blood has set me free. Once and for all, my place in heaven was forever settled. Glory to God. Come on, glory to God. I'm on my way to heaven and the going just gets better every day. I'm walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus all along the way. Come on. Because of the blood. Because of the blood. Now, how many know that when you go to heaven, and it's going to be a great day, you're going to be able to stand in the presence of Jesus? You know, my friend, and some of you knew him, Gary, he passed away a few weeks ago, and he died of a heart attack, but how many know that the very second that he breathed his last breath here on earth, he was in the presence of Jesus? Sherry said that she had a vision during worship at some point of him in the arms of Jesus, and they were both laughing hysterically. And if you knew Gary, that was him, right? I mean, but that's our reality. To be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. Paul said it this way. He said, the very suffering that I've gone through down here is nothing. It's not even to be considered compared to the eternal weight of glory. What's that? The glory of God is the presence of God. It's the essence of who He is. And because of the blood, I am going to be accepted in that. Once and for all. Once and for all. The enemy is going to try to rob you and me of the assurance of that. But tonight we're going, devil, I don't think so. I don't think so. Let me just point out some scriptures to you, and I'm going to rub them in your face every time you try to bring up my unworthiness. Right? Every time you try to tell me that I'm less than, I'm going to bring... Then look at... I'll just admit to you, devil, in myself, everything you're saying is true. But I'm no longer in myself because I am in Christ Jesus. I'm identified with Jesus. Everything from an eternal perspective is based on the fact that I am now His child. I entered into the grace, the gift that He gave me freely by just believing what He said was true is applied to me. Is it applied to you tonight? Is it once and for all settled in your heart that what He did, it applies to me? Come on. Woo! I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are under the blood. I've been redeemed. Come on. Come on. Is that true? It is for me. It should give a shouting ground. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And you see, the whole book of Hebrews, if you haven't figured it out, was written to the Hebrews. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The Hebrews was written to the Hebrews. What does that mean? It was written to Jewish folks. Those that had been under the law their whole lives, that knew nothing else but the law. And their righteousness was pinned on how well they did the law. If they did the law, great, great. If they didn't, then they were toast. Right? And so they had this thing going on always. Well, I did everything, but oy vey, I did this, and now I've got to go give the turtle doves, and I've got to bring the cat. I got to... And Lord, today, or at the atonement, I sure hope you accept the sacrifice. Right? I mean, that was their life. And that was a covenant. Now watch this. It was a great covenant. And it was a covenant that marked out that they were God's special people. That God, not because they did anything. I mean, Abraham was a great guy, but he wasn't, all that great. There are other people on the earth who were probably the same. But God sovereignly picked that particular people for the lineage of the Lamb to come through. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That's an incredible thing when you think about it. To come boldly before the throne of grace. Now, how many know that if you decided, I need to talk to that president. I'm going to march into his office tomorrow in the White House, and I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Well, first of all, you wouldn't make it anywhere near there. They're surrounded with gates and all that stuff, and there's guards because you hadn't passed all the scrutiny in order to be able to be in the president's presence. But here he's saying, come boldly before the throne of grace. Come boldly. What does that mean? God's offering it. Why don't you take it? God's offering it. What's he offering? He's offering help. And how is that even possible? Because the blood has been shed, and now I can come boldly before the throne of grace, and I can find help in my time of need. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. So when I, how many have missed it again since you've been saved? Right? All of us, right? If we're honest, all of us. So what do we do in that case? We say, Father, forgive me. I messed up. But I thank you for the blood. I return to that fountain of grace because I need it applied. I need your mercy and grace every day. And you said your mercy is new every morning. And your grace is available to all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And it's by faith, it's by grace through faith that we inherit the promises of God. In other words, He's offered it. So I'm just saying, Lord, I believe it's true. And because I believe it's true, I'm going to act like it's true and I'm going to walk like it's true. So when I come before the Father in the name of Jesus, I have to have confidence that I'm welcome there. I mean, I don't always feel like it, but I picture this in my mind when I go to pray. I say, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm right in His presence at that second. But why am I? Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. I can stand before Him because I've been covered by the blood. Once and for all, He spilled the blood so that I could be in a position to draw near to Him with confidence. Glory to God. Chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse 19. That may not be quite right. But anyway, let's read it. It says, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing of a better hope through which we may draw near to God. The law made nothing perfect, on the other hand. In other words, the law, and how many know the law was good? The law was good. The law was perfect. The law was holy. So now this is, to me, tragic. There are people who get saved, they get born again, and then they decide, you know what, we need to keep the law. And they put themselves back under the bondage. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the law. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with all of the rituals of the law. There's really not, but the reality is none of that can make me holy. And so I can't do enough of that to be made right with God. It was good, but I couldn't do it, so therefore it did me no good. Are you catching what I'm saying? But again, what's he say? But on the other hand, there's the bringing of a better covenant. Why? The better covenant is the absolute source of the blood. The better covenant's based on the blood that was produced to ratify it. The blood of bulls and goats and pigeon doves and all of that, there wasn't the life in it that was necessary for me to be standing in the presence of Almighty God. But when Jesus shed His blood on the cross, the life of God was in it, and when it was presented for me, His death and my identification with that became the door or the entrance in to the identification with the blood. I'm not identified just with His death, but with His burial and then His resurrection. Have you ever thought about in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. Now, to me, why raise? Well, yeah, He did, but Lord, if I just confess Him as Lord, isn't that enough? Why do I need to believe that He was raised from the dead? Because His blood was pure and the purity of his blood was proven by the fact that he was raised. What does that mean? What does that mean for me? That means that for me, the proof that I am identified with him and that I am raised to life in him is the fact that he's alive. And so now I'm alive, once and for all. Once and for all, I'm right with God. Once and for all, I'm right with God. It's not based on how much I pray, although praying's good. It's not based on how much I fast, but fasting is good. It's not based on how many good deeds I do, and all those are good. It's not how many times I go to church, and going to church is fine. It's not how I celebrate the feast, and that's fine. But it's based on one thing and one thing only. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Come on. And I love this. In bringing of a better hope through which we draw near to God. I'm in your presence, Lord, because of the blood. I'm in your presence because of the blood. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It'll never, never, never lose its power. Come on. Woo! Come on, the blood, the blood. That's why the blood songs are so powerful. And when we plead, somebody said, well, why do we plead the blood over everything? I plead the blood because it's the very instrument that put man in relationship with God. And through that relationship, God has given us authority. And it's like, have you ever watched a movie or whatever in a courtroom and the defendant or somebody's up there and they're trying to get some information out of him? He says, I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. I'm not going to answer that because it might incriminate me. I plead the fifth. So when the devil starts to come and accuse you of something, I plead the blood. Mr. Devil, I plead the blood. When condemnation starts to rise up in yourself, you go, I plead the blood. When somebody tries to tell you that you're worthless, go before God and just say, Lord, I plead the blood right now in Jesus' name. Because in the court of heaven, it's been settled. It's already been identified as the pure and sacrificial lamb that took away the sin of the world. And God, I'm in that, so I'm drawing near to you in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. There's power in the blood. Let me tell you one story and I'll close. Lester Summerall, many of you know who he is, maybe you don't. But he back in the early 1900s, probably 1920s or 30s, he went to the Philippines as a missionary. And back in those days, you know, you didn't go by plane, you went by boat. And he traveled the world by faith. He went with just no money, but he was in the Philippines, and they called him and they said, well, there's this lady, this young girl that's in jail, but she's demon possessed. In fact, she beats the guards up. She throws the guards around like they're nothing because of the demonic presence that was there. So he got to the jail, and of course the guards came into the room with them. And he said, I want you out of here. Get out of here. He was a gruff guy. Get out of here. So, oh, but you'd be in danger. Get out of here. And he spent the night in the jail cell with this demon-possessed lady. And so all night he'd sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Come out of her, devil. Oh, the blood of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. In the morning, she was completely delivered, completely free of her right mind, of her right spirit. But because he stuck with the blood. You see, sometimes you got to stick with it. And you've got to enforce the blood because the enemy will come and try to talk you out of what the blood has done. But you've got to have the attitude that once and for all, that blood was taken before the throne room of God, and I was counted as righteous before Him because of the blood. And I'm under the blood. I'm living in the blood. The blood cleanses me of all unrighteousness. Hallelujah! Come on, come on. Did you get something tonight? If you didn't, your wood is wet. Come on. God, the fire of God should be on us because of the blood. But let's pray. Father, I thank You tonight for Your word. I thank You for the blood. All of those that are listening later, I just plead the blood over them, God. I just ask You to cleanse them, show them who You are and the purity, the life that was in the blood of Jesus and that it's been applied to our hearts. Father, we just thank You. We praise You. We honor You. God, bless all of those who need prayer tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.